The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. The Gift of Counsel.
Keep repeating, be sure you get the confession. As we expect, our present meditation is on the gift of counsel. I feel embarrassed to even bring this up. Be sure you know how to spell the word counsel. It's C-O-U-M-S-E-L. Latin consilium, S-I-L-I-U-M. This is the fourth and final gift of the Holy Spirit for our minds. And as we go over these reflections, remember, these four gifts for the mind are all given to us by the Holy Spirit to deepen, strengthen, and enlighten our faith. Faith, remember, is the virtue or power that have to believe everything which God has revealed. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, first four, are meant to not just help us use our faith, but give us that supernatural, superhuman instinct to believe and put our faith into practice. You might see these four gifts of the Holy Spirit for the mind are the practical implementation of our virtue of faith. It is given already in the Old Testament by the prophet Isaiah. As we've been saying, once we are baptized, we receive both the virtues and the gifts. However, as we should remember, the gifts remain in the soul of a believer only as long as that person is in a state of grace. Before we go any further, it is well to know that Jesus Christ, as man, had a supernatural life. Unlike us, he did not have, or he did not need, the virtue of faith. But Christ our Lord has, we believe, did have the virtue of charity. He had, the gift of sanctifying grace, ennobled, enhanced, deepened by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we proclaim when, as you read in the Gospel of St. John, from his gifts, we have all received. Consequently, among the gifts of the Holy Spirit, pertaining to the mind they received from Jesus Christ the gift of the Holy Spirit which he had when virtue lives in superabundance. And we add, if wisdom is the highest of the gifts that we receive, and the fear of the Lord is the lowest in objective importance. The gift of counsel is a gift which builds on wisdom, enables us to watch this, to not just fear to offend God. Our gift of counsel enlightens us on how we are to serve God in order to praise Him more than we have to. And I want to spend another minute or two on this subject before we go on. As I've said so many times, the spiritual exercises, as St. Ignatius both understood them and wrote them, are meant not hear it, not directly meant for people who want to avoid sin. They are to avoid sin, praise God. But their spiritual exercises are meant for those who want to go beyond serving God, to avoid being punished by God. And before we go any further, the gift of counsel is not only the counsel or direction we need from the Holy Spirit to avoid sin and escape hell. No, the gift of counsel is mainly to direct our minds to do more than we're obliged to do, I repeat, under penalty of sin. In whatever decisions you make during this retreat, I beg of the Lord, still exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, to enlighten you through His gift of counsel, which He sent the Holy Spirit to confer on all of us. You might be able to recognize, know what we can do more than we have to do, and should I add, do more than we are doing. Either we'll be more generous in doing God's will beyond committing sin than you have been before we began this retreat, or I am wasting your time. Now, the basic question we've been asking. First, what is the gift of counsel? In the Church's teaching, the gift of counsel elevates the virtue of prudence. As you know, there are four basic moral virtues, also called the cardinal virtues. They are the cardinales, the hinges around which our whole moral life revolves. The first of the four moral virtues is the virtue of prudence. It is a virtue which enables the mind to know what should be done and how it should be done. the virtue of prudence. And it is called the queen of the virtues. The art of practice, you name the virtue. But the art of practice, hear it. Even the virtue of charity, prudently. You mean we can't be imprudent in our practice of love? Can we ever? Very industrious. You overcome our natural tendency to laziness. Do we have to be prudent in, well, exerting ourselves? But the gift of counsel, I repeat, is intended to elevate supernaturally the virtue of prudence. All this needs to be said. There are actions that, on the natural level, may seem to be and may be very imprudent. Remember our Lord, after raising Lazarus from the dead, chapter 11 of John's Gospel. No sooner did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead than, remember, the Pharisees said, "This is too much." He left this man, mind you, this man gone. The whole world will believe in him. So they decided they will kill him as soon as possible. By all the laws of natural prudence, as the disciples complained to our Lord, he should not have gone to Jerusalem. There he foresaw, he knew exactly what would happen. What did he do? He went to Jerusalem. And he followed not the natural prudence that he surely possessed, but responded to the supernatural gift of counsel. How many, before we close this meditation, want to make it very clear, we are living not a natural life. We need something more than all the natural prudence that we may possess. We need the gift of counsel. How does the gift of counsel elevate, or the church says, perfects? How does the gift of counsel perfect the virtue of prudence? By enabling us to judge with the mind, and then choose with the will what God wants, and do so promptly, do so correctly, do it as it were intuitively. I have 3 pages of notes. Every once in a while, I will look at these notes to make sure I am logical in my presentation. But how I rely on the Holy Spirit to provide me with, well, the gift of counsel to say what he knows far better than I. What a safe statement. What he knows you need. And he better give me that insight immediately. Otherwise, well, ways. Meditate. Think. What should I say next? In our lives, all of us are frequently, dare I say even daily, faced with situations where we must decide immediately. Am I clear? I'm on the telephone. Somebody calling me from a distant city. I did not expect the call. Please make sure I know who's calling. And then, and I mean this, every time I pick up the telephone, the first thing I do is pray. Of course, in silence. Believing that I possess, as I trust we all do, the gift of counsel. We need the light of the Holy Spirit. Shall I use the expression? Right away. And not just to say something, but to say, hear it. For the Holy Father, change the word. For the Holy Spirit, see what's on my mind. For the Holy Spirit wants not so much me to say, what the person that I'm talking to needs. And the gift of counsel is especially needed in making the difficult, painful decisions in our lives. I thought I would share with you a short comparison between the virtue of prudence and the gift of counsel. To practice prudence, we should reflect, carefully think through beforehand. But the gift of counsel enables us to make a decision instantly. Again, the virtue of prudence requires that we analyze where the pros and cons. And, you know, I'm quoting our Lord. How precious this statement to his disciples has been for me. When they deliver you up, Christ is talking to his disciples. Take no thought about what you are to say or how you are to say it. The Spirit will enlighten you on what to say. And the living in the world, how we need, and I like to stand when I speak so we can watch the audience. He doesn't realize it. He has fallen asleep. Thanks. I trusted in the gift of counsel to see what I did. And the gift of counsel is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the closer we are to God, the more faithful we are in doing His divine will, the more spontaneously, the more easily, the more supernaturally, he will know exactly what to say, what to do, the moment we have to either say it or do it. One reason I have recommended and will continue recommending reading the lives of saints. I won't ask for a raising of hands. How many of you have even one life of one saint at home? Don't raise your hands. This retreat may cost you money. I did tell you, didn't I? The 30-day retreat that Tom Monahan made, remember? My estimate is that retreat has so far cost him $30 million. Most expensive retreat I've ever given. Get some lives of the saints. Okay. Read them. And be sure the lives of the saints are not just praying the screech to the skies, but evading the problems, the trials, the temptations of the saints. Take a woman like Catherine of Siena. Uneducated woman, but enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And then the Bishop of Rome, as I'm sure you know, well, a good man, but not acting as wisely as he should. This woman, what shall I say, had the nerve, the supernatural courage, tell His Holiness, Holy Father, you are the Holy Father. I believe you are the Vicar of Christ. Period. However, then she proceeded to tell him, surely, guided by the Holy Spirit, and providing him with the counsel that he as the Holy Father needed. I let her quote my father in God, St. Ignatius. He tells us to be obedient. For me, the hardest virtue, for me, the most difficult vow of my consecrated life, obedience. But thanks, St. Ignatius. He tells us you are to practice enlightened obedience. When you disagree with your superior, tell him, isn't that neat? And explain why you disagree. Then pray. And if you still think that what you believe God wants you to do, then tell your superior, God wants me to act in this way. Only an Ignatius would have the nerve to say that. That is why my last vacation as a Jesuit was in 1941. I'm sure many of you have been born since 1941. 1941. I talked to my superiors, trusting in the gift of counsel. And I don't need a vacation. I made it clear. We need this gift of counsel to enlighten us about everything we do in our lives. And today's church, so widely confused, not the church, but not a few even of our leaders. How we need this gift to know where to go to Mass, what homilies we should listen to, what we should say, for example, to priests, when our judgment before God, we believe they are wrong. Not sure I've ever said this before. Not identify the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago. But in New York, in the Bronx, a priest was chaplain to the Missionaries of Charity. His homilies were not good. His liturgy was equally not good. The superior pleaded with him, "Father, please. The sisters are being both offended and even scandalized." Nothing happened. Well, then Mother Teresa told the superior, and I say, New York, the priest was living in Chicago, but the superior, within the United States, was living in New York. Mother Teresa ordered the superior to go from New York to Chicago, meet his eminence, and tell him, "Your eminence, Mother Teresa came with his order to tell you, you have 2 weeks to remove this chaplain in Chicago. Otherwise, all the missionaries of charity will leave the Archdiocese of Chicago." That is to say, his eminence was a wise man. He removed that chaplain. In today's confused world, how desperately, I use that adverb deliberately, how desperately we need this gift of counsel to know what to do, what to say, what not to do, what not to say. It is the gift which enlightens the mind so that we will practice the virtue of prudence superhumanly, even under divine guidance, do things or say things that by all the laws of natural psychology are unwise. Oh, how many hours I could speak on the price I've paid for trying in my own faltering way to live up to this gift of counsel. We go on. How necessary is this gift? It is and has been always necessary. I remember, the gift of counsel came with the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. And among the gifts that are strengthened by the sacrament of confirmation is, with emphasis, the gift of counsel. Why is this gift so important?